Hello, y'all. Welcome to this episode of How Married Are You Live? We're just popping in here really quick to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Saline Reef.
That's right.
Enjoy.
I have some exciting news. There's a sponsor that we didn't tell y'all about.
Oh, yeah.
A big thank you to Blue Sky Luxury and Travel St. Lucia for gifting a couple attending How Married Are You Live the fantastic opportunity for a three-night escape.
You can even take up to four people. We are giving it away to one of y'all in this very moment. The way that you know you got it is you look under your seat.
Black ring sticker underneath your seat.
Uh-oh. Maybe look in the seat next to you.
Y'all better
whoever
find it
first.
You gonna see people throwing chairs?
Nobody going?
WWE. Let me check under my seat just in case.
Nah, it ain't.
Hey!
We got a winner!
We got one! Yay!
We're excited to hear about their upcoming adventure on the stunning Caribbean island of St. Lucia. The mix of friendly West Indian hospitality and the striking landscape featuring soft sand beaches and tropical rainforest is bound to be a charm. Enjoy.
What episode is this?
No, I got this.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we are here at How Married Are You Live?
All right. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry.
My name, Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married 12
years.
Oh, I'm sorry, can you start it over?
But we'll be married 13 next week.
Yeah. I can't hear the mic. I don't got no monitor.
Oh, he's getting up. Okay, should I get up? Do I need to get up?
No, yeah. Go ahead, drop it. My name, Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married 12. Live in California, and we got
four kids.
Relationships scary. It's very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in a
wedding party.
It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions. We got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story chocolate. Time.
1, 2, 3, and... Okay.
Ah.
We did it. Keep it rolling. Okay, we got a chocolate baby story time. What happened?
Oh my goodness. Where should I start?
Yeah.
I'll just go with last night. Y'all know some of y'all were out here at the VIP dinner or the VIP mixer. And I got home. I had to relieve childcare by 8:30. I got there at 8:45. It's okay though. And when I got there, the kids were in bed. But when I walked upstairs, Anaya and Uzi's room light was on. And I opened the door, and these children are just fully awake. Like, fully awake. And so anyway, I'm like, okay, y'all need to go to bed. And they're like, but we don't have vitamins. Because if you know, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, but just go to bed. I go shower, do my thing. It's 10 o'clock. I walk out of the shower. I come into their room. It's still open. I open the door. They have now pulled out the Barbies and the magnet blocks. They're fully awake. Yeah. They have no care that I'm tired and I have to be up early in the morning.
Yeah.
And so that is my chocolate baby story time.
Yeah. All right. So when I got home last night, for some reason, there was a broken mirror on our countertop.
Oh, that's another part of the story.
Yeah, so I don't even know what happened. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
Okay,
so what happened?
So what happened was Uzi ran into my room and was like, Mom, I broke the mirror.
How?
So I walk into the room and I'm frustrated because the mirror is fully broken. Like, it's bad. And I was like, what happened? He goes, I put my knees on it. But I'm like, what? I don't even understand because it's on the wall. Like, what did you do with your knees? So, yeah, it was shattered. And I had to vacuum.
It was a whole thing. This was last night?
This was last night.
After the event. See, it don't stop. It don't stop. Parenthood don't stop. We keep it going.
We should have got overnight childcare. That would have been better.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Next time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay. First of all, I want to thank our sponsors. Because without the sponsors, we wouldn't be able to have this, right? So, Archive Rentals. Provided the cushions and seats and all that stuff. I don't know I know that we have them for the speakers, the pattern beauty stuff, but I know there might be some extras. So
there are.
Yeah, so if you are a fan of pattern beauty, make sure you stick around and get whatever's in the boxes. You know what I'm saying? Because we got, I bought a lot of stuff here and I didn't see it out yet. So we got to make sure we get it out and we got to get photos and video of it. Somebody, please. Because we need to make sure they come back. You know what I'm saying? We also want to shout out to Roy Rackley for these beautiful floral arrangements. Chick-fil-A for the food, and we have Ask Goody lubricant.
And other things.
And other things, yeah. So don't be scared to get in the box or whatever. You do what you got to do there. And who are we missing any other?
Oh, I really want to say this. She did say what's in there is a one-time use. I don't know. I haven't
I don't know what that means.
What's in there. But I'm just saying, I don't know.
It's a one-time
use. I'm sorry.
You've been warned.
Yeah.
All right, so... Don't come to us if you use it twice and then something ain't working. You understand me?
Wait.
Okay. And boxed water for all the water that we have today. So big shout out to our sponsors. This is amazing that we were able to do. And I want to say, keep going real quick for the How Married Are You merch we just got out of nowhere.
Yes.
We just got that today, right?
We have wedding party shirts. I don't know if anyone has our Black Love hoodie or t-shirt that we've done in the past, but we redid the Black Love design with the How Married Are You rings in the middle of it. Yeah. So it's a How Married Are You Black Love type thing. Yeah. And then we have She's Just That Married and He's Just That Married, his and hers.
Yeah.
Y'all back there.
Yeah.
And we have stickers too.
And then for all the production people, Brandon, James, George, Jordan, where are you? Diana, Dom, thank you guys for all your help. I don't know my man's name right here, but thank you, sir. This man been working. You know what I'm saying?
And
so
Henry.
Thank you guys. Yes. And Henry for the DJ Henry over there. Give it up for DJ Henry keeping us provided with the sounds. And then last but not least, we got to thank Mrs. Melanin for putting this whole thing together, right? She got Tyra, and her amazing team.
Yes,
organizing this whole event. But Yvette is the visionary, right? Mm-hmm. And so, a lot of things start. Anytime you see me in an uncomfortable position, you're gonna have to blame Yvette, right? Because she asked a question. Hey, can we do this? And I'm like, okay, what does that mean, right? And I'm not necessarily sure what the answer that is, but I'm usually saying yes, right, or absolutely not, but sometimes I'm saying yes, and then I'm overwhelmed with how much comes by just allowing her to be her, you know what I'm saying, and not getting in the way of that, so I'm very grateful to be here. Okay, so today we want to discuss about faith a little bit, you know what I'm saying, because if you don't know, this event required a lot of faith and belief in not only ourselves, right? Belief in God, but belief that people would show up and that people would see value in it. And so some of you guys have visions. You know something is valuable. You know something that you're doing is important. You may believe in a certain aspect of life, whether it be motherhood, fatherhood, being a husband, being a wife, for children, for families, for marriages. Right. And I just want to remind you that you don't have to start from scratch. OK, you can learn from us. You can learn from the people that were on the panel and you can catapult yourself further by asking questions and putting yourself in position to say, hey, I'm curious about this. I don't know what to do with this passion on my heart, but I want to do something more. And so I want to talk about the origins of this because I was doing YouTube and I was like, Yvette was like, you do that if you want to, but I don't know if I want to be a part of it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do it. And then she was like, well, I want to say something. And I'm like, okay, well, then go ahead and say something.
Does that sound like me?
See?
I was not expecting that response.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's like, I just want to sit down and talk, and it'll be fun. And I'm like, it was so much that I don't know if she knew what it was going to become. But she was just like, I want to have fun spending time with you. And just so you guys know a little bit about my wife and I, we didn't really talk before we started the podcast. Like, we didn't have deep conversations. And I think, I don't know, you can speak to it a little bit more. But when you talk about that freedom and, like, communicating everything that you do now, I don't know if that's a call to you being is that kind of like the, is that the showmanship of it? Or is that like, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like there's something, like you feel like you're serving people, so you're more available to speak in this way. What kind of got you over that? Because in the beginning, we didn't talk like that.
You mean us talking together or talking publicly?
Well, I think because we started the podcast in our garage, I don't think it ever really felt public until like later on when we started getting emails and stuff like that. So putting the camera on, turning the camera on and talking. I know it was one initial conversation. We were on somebody else's podcast and we did like a live or something like that. And we were like, oh, this is easy. So what helped us start believing that we can even do this?
I think for me, belief in fatherhood kind of felt like it was your thing. And I feel like for me, I have always wanted us to have a thing. And so I knew that the creative in you needed, like, it could be a thing if it was like a creative thing. And so I feel like that's what opened me up to it initially. Is that answering your question? Because I was going to answer it differently, but I don't know if it's the same question.
Yeah, answer it the other way.
So I feel like I've been living a lot longer. When we got married, I was 23 years old. And starting out in marriage, I was realizing how much was not discussed. How much I didn't know before I got married that I wish someone had just told me this is normal. And so the reason that I'm able to participate in conversations with my husband in this manner is because I know there are a lot of single people out there wanting to get married. And I know there are a lot of married people out there growing through some stuff wondering, am I the only one? Are we the only ones? You're feeling like you're strange. But the truth of the matter is we're all experiencing the same thing. And I know that the value I get when someone who's far more seasoned than me, or even who's in the same season as me, is like, girl, this is what's happening. And so I felt like this was just a nice opportunity because, Glenn, you're right, I do see it as a ministry, but this is an opportunity for us to make people feel seen and feel like they're not alone, and also to help prepare some people for what's to come.
Yeah. How do you feel like, you know, your season, because I feel like we're in a season now where as much as we need mentorship, we have to be pouring into other people, right? So how are you doing, like, with that? Are you in a stage where you're trying to find mentorship? Are you in a stage where you're pouring into a lot of people? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, because John Maxwell talks about the five levels of leadership, right? And then in the final level, the fifth level, which people don't really get to, is when you can recreate yourself, when you're leading leaders, right? And that's kind of the stage. I don't want it to stop here, right? So I just want to talk about, are you in the mentorship phase or are you in the mentor phase?
How about I'm in the everything phase?
Yeah.
I am in a phase where I need mentorship. I'm in a phase where I need friends. I'm in a phase where I love pouring into other people and encouraging them and just breathing life into whatever season that they're in. How about you?
I think lately, in the past few years, I've been in a phase of really needing friendships, right? Repairing my belief in, like, community. That has been something that was very difficult because I got to a point where I was like, if I'm not working with you, we're not friends. I don't got time to be pouring into a random that doesn't have that doesn't have any value to my pockets or my family. It's just not gonna happen. And how crazy that was of a thought, but it was really to protect myself from the vulnerability that I think I was really called to. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm coming out of the, like, oh yeah, me and the homies are getting together. We always see each other. We're pouring into each other. I'm not at a loss of words when I see anybody. I do feel like the relationships I have are intentional, and I'm not wasting my words, right? I feel good about my friendship, which keeps me level, right? Now, how am I growing? There's a percentage of people, right? A good space to be in is 30% of the people you're around, 33% are the people that are your friends, 33% of the people you're being mentored by, and 33% of the people you're pouring into. Now, some of us are just pouring into people. We can't find one person to give us anything, right? And that is so hard. And my hope for you is that you would not walk around believing that is your reality and that's the way it has to be. I was just talking to Preston back in the green room, and we were talking about how you have not because you ask not, right? Like, when last night we were talking to VIP, and I was saying, you know, in order to give mentorship, I had to pay for it. Like, I had to invest thousands of dollars into somebody to spend a half a day with me that changed my life. And I think that some of you guys who are feeling that way, where you're like, hey, I'm not being poured into, ask the question. You know who it is. You know who you want to be poured into by. Ask that person, hey, all I'm asking for is 2 hours once a month. You know what I'm saying? Or an hour, you know, every 3 weeks. I don't need much. But that community and allowing someone else to bless you is not only going to strengthen you, but it's going to strengthen their faith because they get to see themselves being valuable and how you're being raised up. So I know now that I'm in a space of I'm ready to pour into some people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to be vulnerable like that because some of you guys are local. You know, some of you guys don't live far away. And I don't want you walking around here believing that this is your reality, that you have to go through this by yourself, or that an hour or whatever of our time is going to cost a huge thing. That bug is humongous. yeah. And they don't die, though. They're like little bullets. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make sure y'all watch out, man. Oh, please keep the camera rolling, because this is a fatherhood breakdown. Y'all finna go viral. Straight up. Straight up. But some of y'all being attacked by life like that bug, amen? And no, we don't want you to do that alone, right?
Yeah.
I would love to find a few couples to pour into, you know what I'm saying? And also, my hope is that more people who are at the stage where they're ready to pour into some people, go ahead and pour into the people, and then just expect that God is going to find people or help you find people to pour into you. So, yeah. Do we have any dilemmas that we can figure out, or do you have another thing to say? Because we can end this, because I'm good.
I feel like you guys are the wedding party, so there's so much you already know about us. But I did want to open it up. Where is Ray? Is Ray here?
He probably chilling.
Okay. To see, like, is there any questions? Because you have us. You have us here. We have a question. I'll come over.
Nina. I met Nina yesterday.
From Tennessee.
From Tennessee. There you go.
Okay, so the panel earlier, I just love how you said how Yvette challenged you and said you don't have a 5-year plan, and I'm trusting you with our family, and it encouraged you to go out and figure out a plan. Just like, where do you feel like someone's mindset needs to be able to receive it that way? Because some people feel like that's an attack, and we about to fight, because how you going to come for me?
Yeah.
So just encouragement for both, like when your spouse challenges you, you know, for the better, what mind space does that person need to be in to receive it as, you know, encouragement to push through? Because that's your rib. That was a rib call right there.
Yeah.
I have a question on top of her question. Did I say it in a nice way?
Absolutely not. Come over here.
No.
Because I need...
No, because I was just wondering, was my delivery good? Is that why you received it so well? No. I tried to give myself a little bit of something.
I don't know what you were thinking when you said that, because
when I get tired, though, you know, I start to get
anything's like she's liable to say anything. And she's mostly tired. Yeah. Right. She's mostly tired. So I don't know. I think I have a. I don't know if this is a strength or a weakness. But the majority of my time was spent being raised by my mother. So my ears are already to the tune of a black woman. I am listening because I wanted to make sure that she was good. And sometimes when she's communicating with me, I'm just annoyed. I'm not gonna front. It's just, I don't necessarily want to hear everything that she has to say. You know what I'm saying?
Even now?
I'm trying to think. I'm really trying to answer that question from the heart. Right.
No, because I feel like I've been a lot more intentional how I approach you.
Oh, absolutely. But we're not talking about you being able to say it or how you say it. It's just about me being open to hearing it. You know what I'm saying? And so I realized that the way I respond to her, I'm teaching her the way she should communicate with me. So if she has something to say to me and I shut her down because it hurts my feelings, I'm telling her that she has to change what she says based on the way I feel. Mm-hmm. So then she has to anticipate how I feel, which is impossible for her. So it puts her in a prison. You know what I'm saying? I think Yvette's gift is to speak to me. One of her giftings is to speak to me sharp enough so that I would hear it. Because of what I have grown from, it wasn't a lot of communication without assault. Hmm. Right? So the fact that I get communication with, you know what I'm saying, where she's just trying to tell me something because I have issues, sometimes it feels like I'm being assaulted. But I have to, the fact that my wife does this is what she does. She'll say something and leave it alone. But it's so heavy, it's awkward. You know what I'm saying? So what's your 5-year plan? I don't know, whatever God has for us. I aced that question, right? I passed that question. What was she gonna say to that? Oh, 5 years, right? I trust you with my family and my future. You don't have 5 years planned out. Interesting. Good night, right? Haunted, right? That was a really good communication thing that she did. All she did was pose a question. She didn't ask me to get offended. And she went to sleep right on cue, right? Because I couldn't even be like, well, why you say it like that? I didn't even have time to do that. She called out to me who I was supposed to become. Mm. And some of us are so gentle and so injured that even a question feels like an attack. And that's not the way it's supposed to go, you know? Our wives and our partners, our spouses, our husbands, whatever, they should have the freedom to communicate how they feel. Because as Kariga said earlier, communication is a highway with exits so and loops and long, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was such a beautiful articulation of the truth. And so I would say that I had to be in a place of knowing that I could be better, wanting it, right? And knowing that her heart was communicating for her desired future, right? It wasn't that she had to agree with the plan. She just said, do you have a plan? And my answer was no, I didn't have a plan. And that exposed the fact that I didn't have a plan. But because I'm so weird, I was like, oh, I don't have a plan. I don't have a direction. I don't have direction. Where am I? Which way is the right way to go? I don't even know what right or left is. Like, even when you get in a car, you know whether or not you have to go in reverse to back out of a drive parking spot, or you got to drive forward. Like, you know which way you have to go. I didn't even know where I was going. I just knew I wanted to be with her and I wanted to serve her. Now, the response to that, I don't think she, and I talk about this, she didn't even understand at all what she was asking me, because she always set me up like that. It was always, hey, let's go on a hike, right? We get up to the top of the mountain, right? This is crazy. We get up to the top of the mountain, she goes, so what do you want to, like, do? Or, like, you should start a DJ company, or you should be a substitute teacher. And then the whole way down, she's chasing me down the hill because I'm trying to get away from her.
Right? Literally.
And now she wonders why I don't want to go on the full hike ever. She's like, let's go on a hike. I'm like, let's go halfway so we could turn around, right?
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. But I think I had to be in a place of wanting more for myself. And I don't know, because I feel like that question is coming from a place of possibly experiencing a relationship where those type of questions weren't invited, you know? So we have to create, and that's what we call right there, hard work. You can ask me a question, and I can answer it, And that's hard work because I don't avoid your question or run from it. But I understand she's not asking me based on my incompetency or failures or something I'm missing. She's asking me something because she wants to know where we are going and what's the plan. And that's okay. Even on a flight, you know how much time you got left on the flight, right? Yeah. You know where you're going. You know what a destination is. And she has a right to know.
Are there any other questions?
Any other questions?
Oh. Check 1, 2.
Hey, what's up, guys? So this is more like a faith-based question. How do you guys manage the craziness of life, having kids, work, waking up early, get ready for the day, and still grow your spiritual walk with God? Because I just feel like there's so many things taking our attention away on a day-to-day basis. So what do you guys do for that? Thank you.
I feel like it looks different in different seasons. There are seasons of life where I am like, I'm reading my Bible, I'm journaling, I'm doing all the things. There are seasons of life where church attendance is regular. There are seasons of life where I don't necessarily get time to actually like sit and sup with God, and it looks different. I am a huge worshiper. So worship music is a lot of times how I connect with him. And I feel like for me, as a primary parent who stays at home, a lot of times it comes from like, okay, kids, let's read a Bible story. And then that, those Bible stories for the kids, man, they be hitting. They be hitting in ways and it's like, okay, Lord. But the thing that I'm realizing is that the Lord is always present. There was a, if you've listened to the podcast, you know, but in October of 2021, I left because I needed that time with God. So I went away for 3 weeks, isolated myself, didn't talk to no one, literally gave away my cell phone, and I was just present with my Father. And I felt like when I was leaving, it was like, oh, I'm going on a date with Abba. Like, it's my opportunity, it's just me and him. And when I got there, I'm going to cry. I don't agree. When I got there, I realized that he was telling me that he was with me the whole time. He is like, you didn't have to come all the way out here to Fox Island, Washington, to be with me because I've been with you the whole time. And the message that he gave to me was rest and remain in the presence of the Lord and allow him to do the rest. And so for me, there are times when it's just like seasons of marriage where we don't always get our date nights or we don't always get that intimacy that the way we want it to look like. And it's the same with God. As a business person, as a wife, as a mother, as a human being with responsibilities, it doesn't always look the same. But the truth of the matter is the Lord is here. And sometimes it's just a moment of resting and remaining and allowing his presence to resonate in my spirit. But that's it for me.
Yeah. I think for me, one thing that, like I said, in this season, I'm in a big stage of friendship. And I had given up on that for a long time. And I was talking to a mentor, and he was saying, you know, don't forsake your sacred circle. And I was like, okay. He was like, because I asked him, I don't know what it is about older black men, not this one in particular, but I was like, in general, older black men like to see young black men struggle. You know what I'm saying? They like, ah, yeah, this the good part right here. It's going to hurt. Yeah, you might almost get divorced. Yeah, that almost happened to me too. You be all right. Like, that's almost like a badge of honor. And I hate that. And so when I talked to this mentor, I was like, look, I just need to know if there's anything coming up in the road. Because the men in my life, they won't tell me. It's like a secret. I was like, is there anything else coming up along the way that is going to hinder me? Do you see anything? You know, and I'm saying, like, in general, like, is there something coming? And he was like, I don't know what's coming. I can't tell you. But he said, I just don't want you to, the best thing you can do is not forsake your sacred circle. The men in your life who you don't have time for, the guys who are busy and they got young kids, you're going to need them when that time does come, when them bumps come. So don't forsake them now because you're investing in where you're going. So, okay, cool, got you. No problem. That was one thing he told me. I believe that saved me a whole bunch of heartache. I believe it saved me strife in our marriage. I believe it saved me issues in my fatherhood. I believe it called me in community with my own father. I believe it allowed for forgiveness, a place for me to vent, even in just the past year, because the conversation happened a year ago. Now, if I'm continuing to invest in these people for the next 20 years, right, that word, that's going to cover me for the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? So I would say community is huge for me. So we get together, you know, we may hit a couple scriptures, we may play pool, but that tight-knit community of people I trust, people I can lean on, for me is invaluable. And then not turning away from when God is obviously speaking to you and telling you to do something you don't want to do, right? Because I think because we are now in therapy a lot, I think we can self-care ourselves away from community and self-care ourselves away from forgiveness and self-care ourselves away from grief or whatever. And I have to take a large inventory and say, okay, am I avoiding this because I'm scared or I'm insecure or what? I have to, like, really think about that and say, no, you know, it's okay that I put this relationship down because, honestly, I deserve better than what I accept, you know? And I heard a word from someone recently is that you deserve way more than what you think you do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that, you know, we can earn anything, but I'm saying that what God has for us is way more than we will ever think of. Yeah. The relationships, yeah. What they look like, our sex life, our friendships, what we like, our future, our education, the amount of people we touch, the amount of people, you know, that healed because of our ministry. Like, you just don't know, right? How far, how much further it goes. And if you start to think about it in this, like, worldly perspective, it's going to be limited every single time. Any other questions?
Gotcha.
We got a few.
Okay, guys, so given that Yvette's question about, I can't see that, 5 years, this is sort of the culmination of that. Can you, if you can, give us a snippet of what we can expect from you guys in the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Great question.
I'm not going to front, y'all. This event put us in a hole. We struggling out here in these streets. And so leading up to this moment, I was feeling very defeated. I was on the verge of being like, you know what, let's just give everybody their money back and, like, cancel this event. And I didn't do it. We didn't do it. And, like, being here, even though we still trying to figure out some things, I'm so encouraged. Like, this couple drove from Mexico. Some of y'all flew from, she has issues with flying, but she came all the way from New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, y'all are from Cincinnati, Texas,
Nebraska.
What? Like, y'all flew to be here. And so I just want you to know that you have,
go ahead and cry. Stop cursing.
I have my makeup done, and I don't want to do it. But you guys have so encouraged me.
That's our favorite word. Listen.
I am, like, extremely encouraged because I,
She, when she cries, she look at me like it's my fault, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Like, we were talking earlier. Ugh, I hate this.
We were talking earlier, I think it was in a women's panel, where we were talking about aspirations and goals. Y'all, when I was a little girl, I knew I wanted to be an educator. And not only did I know I wanted to be an educator, but I knew that I wanted to be an ASB director because I love creating memories and opportunity for joy and to cultivate space where people can just feel loved and seen. And the crazy thing is, it doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like, but this is a manifestation of who I always knew I was going to be. And so I convinced my husband to let me do this thing, and I was getting scared. These weeks leading up, I'm like, he's going to be like, we can never do this again. This was stupid. And all the things. But being here, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And so I will be doing this. I will be doing this and so much more. We are supposed to equip fathers, give hope to mothers, and inspire children. And so I kind of want to move more into this. I like being with people. It's fine to put a camera up and record and do all the things, but like, I think, what is it, an ambivert? I'm really an introvert. I like my alone time and being like secluded and all the things, but also like I get energized. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm that person. And so I'm encouraged. I'm so encouraged by you filling these seats, by you buying the tickets, flying out here, driving, doing all the things, y'all. And I'm proud of you. Yeah. I am so proud of every single person sitting in a seat right now. You guys see value in growing in your relationships, and you invested in yourself. Whether you got a sponsor ticket or not, you invested your time and your conversation and your comfort to be here today. And so I appreciate you. And in the future, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to speak life right here. This is going to be happening all the time. And we are, one of my biggest goals, one of my biggest dreams, I don't know how far out, but I want to do family retreats because I feel like one of the biggest things that people said to us was childcare. And so I know some of y'all had to struggle to get childcare arranged to be here, but like I want it to be such that we can be right here and we have trusted people watching our kids over there on the playground. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to be an issue that prevents people from being able to be a part of this type of environment. And so I think we're on the same, I think we're in alignment there.
Well, I got to get down and lay down. It seems like it.
No.
No, 100%. So,
that's not true.
No, one of the things that happened recently when my sister Brittany, when she passed away in 2021, August 14th is coming up, I had nowhere to go. I had nowhere to heal. I was lonely, and I needed people to take care of me, and I was in service to everyone around me. I needed people to, like, I just needed to sit and be quiet. That was tough. And so what I recognize is that this is a conference, but what it fully looks like is retreats. It is you being able to recognize that you need something and you don't have the resources or the services to help yourself, and you come and we take care of you. That you will be able to heal, that your marriages will be able to heal, that your family will be able to heal, whether you're grieving, you're growing, you're transitioning in any way, that you could come for a week and you can get the healing that you need. That's the heart that we have.
Yeah.
And so what we are believing God for is a space that would allow us to host these people.
Yeah.
We would love for it to be on the left coast here, but, I don't care where it is, you know. I know that what Yvette was able to discover on her retreat, I don't feel like it should be that far away or time-wise that inconsistent for her to have to go through that. And I think that is a resource that we all deserve. So what this fully looks like is retreats where you come, you get the healing you need. and you just feel cared for. You feel safe to fall apart. Yeah.
I like that question. Thank you.
We had a couple questions over here.
Okay.
Hi. So my question is in regards to parenthood, marriage, kind of like it was mentioned earlier, there's a lot of things that are pulling us. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but then there are times where we know what to do. My question is in context to, like, Yvette had mentioned earlier, assessing and seeing, okay, the kids needs this, the husband needs this, this person needs this. All right, let me just go ahead and self-sacrifice what, you know, I would want and kind of give to others that are around me. So sometimes you'll know, okay, I shouldn't do that. But what are some things that will help you kind of get out of that and to put yourself into that rotation of, like, this person needs this, okay, I need this, and this needs that. It's like I know it's a thing that needs to be done, but how do you get to the point of, like, okay, I'm going to do this now?
As far as community, like, or family, or just kind of where do you put things in order of importance?
In terms of putting yourself into that line of things, so it's like, okay, if I was going to use, like, a very small scale, it's like, okay, so-and-so wants to eat here, so-and-so needs to eat. I want a chocolate bar, but it's not really a need. But then, like, later on down the road, I'll be like, dang, I should have got that chocolate bar for myself. Like,
I feel like we're very inconsistent with that, right? Because I feel like sometimes you put the kids before you and all types of stuff.
It was, and before you, go ahead and say it.
Oh, yeah, that's a definite. I wasn't even going to say that. That was already. But I have the grace for her to figure it out. We're at a stage right now where the kids is very high demand. You know what I'm saying? But I watch her sacrifice herself to a fault. Like, I remember one time we was going up to L.A. We driving up to L.A. and we stop at Chick-fil-A. We're eating Chick-fil-A and Yvette's like, all right, I'm going to get me an orange juice. And then we get in the car and Uzi's like, where's my orange juice? And I'm like, you didn't get one. And I keep driving. And Yvette's like, he can have mine. And I'm like, don't give him your orange juice. He's going to spit in it. It's going to be backwash in it. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be good. You drink your orange juice, right? It was like in life when he was like, give me your cornbread. He's like, no, man, keep your cornbread, man. Get him. Nah, I was like, man, you keep your orange juice. Uzi ended up drinking 14% of the orange juice, spilling 70% on his shirt. We had to stop at Target on the way to L.A. I was like, you see, you should have kept your orange juice. I watch her do that. But then at the same time, I watch her protect herself. So I think Yvette's getting better at that. Do you have, you want to add to it?
I actually missed the question. I am so sorry. Can you reiterate?
Yeah, she's just basically asking, you know, all these people around you need all this stuff.
Yeah.
The kids need stuff. Your husband needs stuff. Maybe people in the community. How do you prioritize what's important? Mm-hmm. And where do you put yourself on that? Mm-hmm. But, okay.
Yeah, I've gotten to a place where I'm a work in progress, but I feel like I'm getting to a place where I just have to approach it moment by moment and day by day. I feel like if I look at it on the grand scheme of things, I get overwhelmed and I get paralyzed. And so for me, it's kind of in this moment, what needs to happen. For example, this week, my children got a lot of screen time. And usually I feel a little self-conscious about that. I'd be like, nah, y'all got to earn this screen time. You're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do the other. But this week I was like, Yvette, you need time. You need them away. You don't have childcare. So here they are in front of a screen. And so I feel like it's just a matter of prioritizing the needs in the moment, but also extending grace to yourself sometimes.
And I think also from a husband's perspective, I would probably say, sometimes I'll be like, nah, I deserve this.
He deserves better.
I'll just be like, I deserve better. And I'm taking it.
He do.
You know? But I would say, I also, because I have the advantage of living the life as a stay-at-home father, mm-hmm. I recognize when she's had enough. I can just see it. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's like, I'll ask her a very simple question, and she'll go, like, kind of look at me and shake her head and blink, like, figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of like, oh, okay. Why don't you take the day off? And I just, you know. But me being able to recognize that, now I'm going to give you permission because you wouldn't take it yourself, you know. Mm. Or just trying to show up early on time to let out for her night off and stuff like that. You know, that's important.
Yeah. Babe, how married are you?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm so married that for the past week and a half, I've been watching you put on so many different pink outfits, trying to figure out what you were going to wear, what dress. She done tried on everything, y'all. And it wasn't like she just took all her clothes off. I was like, what about this? Pulling stuff out the bag. I'm like, you better keep the tags on all that stuff. So that's how married I am. I've been enjoying the fashion show that you've been giving me after hours. How married are you, babe?
I'm so married that I feel like I have backed off on the lack of care and urgency that you've had toward finding an outfit for How Married Are You?
Yeah, because I figured this out this morning. I was not
because
tripping.
I could have put a pressure on, but I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna let him do him. I wanted to coordinate and do all the things, but
yeah,
I'm just not that married.
And
that's just how married we are.
Thank you, guys.